This special edition in-depth program on agriculture is brought to you in part by Dandy Farms, Don's Heating and Cooling, Iowa Realty, Westridge Nursing and Rehab Center, 3M, Rich Goff Custom Farming and Trucking, Sandals Lounge, and Pella Motors. Join us for in-depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about, following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you would like to suggest a topic for in-depth, send an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Two Rivers Cooperative, Columbia Store and Tire, Ozinga Feeds, Iowa State Savings Bank, McKay Insurance, Knoxville Hospital and Clinics, Iowa State Investment Representative Joe Cunningham, and the Pleasantville Clinic. Enjoy the program.
Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Is it a good time to be a farmer? What challenges lie ahead? And what market forces are at work that will determine how profitable farming might be this year? Let's go in depth with Leslie Miller and John Jensen with the Iowa State Savings Bank, Knoxville. So it seems to me that it's a pretty darn good time to be a farmer, is it?
Yes. People are positive. Attitudes are good. They've made money. They're making money. They're looking forward to going back to the field this year. And it's just a general attitude that's good.
Just all around. Everybody's happy.
Pretty well, yes. You know, when you say everybody, that's like never say never. But by and large, I think everybody feels good about their profession, about what they're doing, about how they're meeting their bills and going about business. And so I would say, yes, it's a pretty good time in agriculture.
Calving's been good. You know, it's been much better calving weather than we've had in prior springs. And, you know, the field work, got a lot of fall field work done last fall. People feel good about that. We've got a little bit of moisture now. I had a farmer this morning tell me that was the wettest inch and a tenth that he'd had in rain in a long time, just because it came just perfectly that we got all the good out of it. And they're feeling positive from that standpoint. Some people are locking in some decent prices, you know, which they think will help them through this year. And because of that, it's great. Things seem great. There's a lot of interest in agriculture from people that have never even been on a farm. You know, we have gotten calls, FSA has gotten calls from people that are residents of Des Moines that they want to know if they can buy a farm and start farming.
Really?
Which is, you know, with no farming experience, of course, the first recommendation is you have no experience. I would not advise it. But just that's how positive things are about agriculture. Unfortunately, I'm going to be the gloomy Gus and say agriculture is cyclical. So while they're positive now, they will not stay that way forever. You know, there's a possibility that we may see some lower prices next fall compared to what we've got right now. I mean, if you look at the futures market, they've already knocked a dollar difference between corn for new crop corn and what corn is today. And so things will change. They won't be quite as exciting, but then again, we could have some dry weather that keeps prices high, and it's dry every place except for Knoxville, Iowa, and it could be even more exciting. You just don't know. Agriculture is cyclical, but I think we just want to appreciate the good weather that we've had, the possibility for getting into the fields in a timely manner, getting that crop in, and at least getting a chance to raise a really good crop compared to some of the struggles we faced in prior years. We should enjoy that.
And so prices are still high, land values are through the roof, everything is looking pretty good, but it could change pretty quickly too.
Yes, because agriculture is not static. It changes every single day. For example, this morning, the news from out of Australia is that La Nina is gone. We've returned to neutral conditions, which means in 20 to 40 days we'll see a change in the weather. If El Nino creeps in, we could see some dryness develop this summer. If not, if the conditions just stay neutral, we might have a fabulous crop. And so we have that unknown out there. Some of the economists that we heard at the Bankers Association meeting last week, Iowa Bankers Association has a meeting every year in March for their agricultural lenders, and both John and I were in attendance. good information, good economists, but some of the grain specialists were cautioning us as to the USDA report that's due out on Friday. It's the planting intentions report, and currently now there are about 94 million acres projected by USDA. That may change. They may go to 95 or more than 95 million acres of corn planned for the 2012 crop. And so, you know, if that comes in and they plug in even not good yields, but just kind of average yields, it will double the corn carryover, which could have a big impact on the markets next fall. So there's things out there that, again, we don't know. We just encourage our borrowers to think along the lines of enjoy what's good now, lock in what's good now as far as prices, and prepare or keep yourself prepared so that if things aren't quite as good next year, it doesn't affect you. Don't stretch to buy that last acre or buy the newest and greatest piece of machinery. If you've got good machinery right now and you've got all the technology you need with that equipment, maybe it's a good year to be satisfied and instead just kind of see what happens with prices and the weather.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on agriculture is brought to you in part by the Knoxville Raceway, Marion County Fair Association, Pleasantville Schools, Vermeer Corporation, Motor Inn of Knoxville, Hy-Vee in Knoxville, Pleasantville State Bank, and H&R Block. Join us for in-depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you miss in-depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. It's that easy. Just visit KNIAKRLS.com and find in-depth in the radio audio media player. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Marion County Farm Bureau, Pierschbacher Funeral Homes, Raceway Tire and Exhaust, Barker Implement, Kevin Wadley CPA, HCI Care Services, Central College, and Marion County Bank.
I continued my conversation about farming with Leslie Miller and John Jensen with the Iowa State Savings Bank. And you said double the corn carryover. What does that mean?
It goes from 800 million bushels to 1.6 billion, I think, is what they're talking. And USDA's thrown estimates out for what they think the prices could do in the fall. But we were looking at some projections. If you go back to the last time there was that much carryover, the prices were significantly lower than what USDA is projecting right now could be the possibility. So I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, well, okay, yeah, we might have 5 1/4 corn next fall, but if I look back, I can certainly see that 475, not very many years ago, was where the prices were with that much carryover. Things have changed. You know, we use more corn with ethanol, but, you know, again, it's with the gas efficiencies that we're trying to realize. Now, we're not using quite as much gasoline, so we won't use quite as much ethanol. And China, now, again, news this morning, China's trying to soft land their economy. They think that they're starting to slow down. And so they're trying to design a soft landing. Well, there's a lot of people that eat in that country. And while we don't know for sure that they would buy a lot of our corn, if their economy slows down, the market might think that they're going to buy less. So there's all these things out there that are unknowns.
Bob, maybe a moment's further expansion for your audience on what we're talking about by corn carryover. Basically, it's an indication of through the next marketing year whether we'll have enough corn to go around to meet present projected needs, unexpected needs, versus not having enough or way too much. It's a number that moves a little bit. But still, when you have in the area of 800 million bushel net, it's perceived by the market as being pretty close to out of corn. And I can't quote you the exact numbers in that, but it kind of comes down to so many days' supply of corn. If we would double that in terms of carryover, we have a tremendous crop this year, and we would double that carryover, what it would tell the market is that we've got enough corn to make it through another marketing year, and that we probably won't have problems with corn supply, and the upshot would be a deadening of the prices. So I hope that helps a little bit. I hope I didn't get too garbled for your audience, but that's kind of what, when you ask that, we're talking about in terms of corn carryover. It's the corn at the end of the marketing year. The marketing year is October 1 to September 30th. And the idea of that, Bob, the significance of October is that's when the combines are starting to run on the new crop. So we're back in the new corn by then.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on agriculture is brought to you in part by Cargill of Eddyville, Pella Cooperative Electric, Golf Cars of Iowa in Pleasant Hill, KO Roofing and Siding in Pella, Verdeft Agency, Lighton State Bank, and RJ Performance. Join us for in-depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about, following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you would like to suggest a topic for in-depth, send an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Van Monen Seed and Chemical, First State Bank, Titan Machinery of Pella, Midtown Tire in Pella, Tri-County Veterinary Clinic, Laley USA, and Boats Home Furnishings. Enjoy the program.
I continued my conversation about farming with Leslie Miller and John Jensen with the Iowa State Savings Bank. Now, one of the things that you've taught me in the past is that if we have really, in general, if we have really high corn and high bean prices, that that's most of the time a bad deal for our cattle and hog producers. But last year, and I guess we're continuing into another year, we have that rare situation where the cattle and bean prices are good, and so is the pork and beef prices. What's going on there?
With the cattle situation, had a tremendous drought in the southern part of the country, and you know, we started with reduced cow numbers, producing lower numbers of calves, killed a bunch of cows coming off the drought, and so we've had a situation where actually beef prices could have been higher last year than what they were, but we had a bunch of hamburger cows coming from Texas and Oklahoma. Those cows aren't here anymore, and so pound cow prices are astronomically high. They're 40 cents higher than they were a year ago, which means your hamburger is going to be more expensive, and there's not very many feeder cattle out there, so your choice cuts of meat are going to be more expensive. And the hog thing, we believe most of the economists will attribute to the imports of pork into China. Again, going back to some of the economists that spoke, Shane Ellis with Iowa State Extension Service, you know, I've always had this saying that people can't have $4 gas and have high-priced beef, because I think for a lot of people the choice becomes, you know, I have to pay for the gas to get to work, so I can't pay for the prime rib. You know, I'll have to buy the hamburger. And Shane indicated that he sees some evidence of that in some of the numbers that they're getting now as gas prices have kicked up. And so that's his concern. That's the little cloud, if you will, that's on the horizon for the cattle industry, and that may temper some of the enthusiasm for beef. I think cattlemen will still have a good year, but there's some wild projections out there, and those may not materialize if high gas prices stay here. By the same token, the Chinese, nobody ever really knows what the Chinese do, but they have plugged in that they will import quite a bit of pork this year, and they could. But again, if the Chinese economy is slowing, they may not import as much. Some of those import projections are based on a steady import of commodity. And China, when especially where grains are concerned, they kind of buy a bunch and then they don't buy for a while. It's like they're looking for the cheapest market, and they'll buy a bunch and then they stay out of it. Well, they've done that with pork, and if they follow that pattern, they're not going to import as much pork as what they thought. And that could hamper pork prices a little bit. So we've got great prices now. If prices could drift lower, you know, and if that's the case, maybe we'll have some feed prices that will drift lower as well, that will soften that. But we don't know. There's a lot of uncertainty out there right now.
One of the things that Leslie was talking about there, the exports that we've experienced has tremendously helped keep our meats in balance, allowed the people in this country that are feeding pork and beef to go ahead and buy the higher priced feed, because where maybe our own U.S. consumer has been stifled a little bit by the gas relationship and other things, a lot of this meat's gone overseas. The price has stayed up, and the people feeding the animals have been able to pay those higher prices because of that. It is so intertwined that you can throw me one thing and say, well, this will make it not work, but we don't know what might come along also and make it work. It's just been that good a year for us.
The one area that I think has not enjoyed quite as much profitability, the dairy sector was doing very, very well until China figured out that they could get milk from Australia. And so we have seen some softening in dairy prices here in the last 60 days. So they maybe aren't feeling quite as euphoric as the cattle and pork producers, but certainly the livestock sector has not been hammered by the high feed prices like they were in 2008.
We don't want to go back to where we were with the dairy farmers again, where they were.
No, we don't. And prices are much better now. I mean, you're talking prices that are bouncing into the $15, $17 range versus $9, which is what really hurt them badly in 2008, 2009.
Our milk price is flirting with that break-even cost of production. We'll have months where we see some profit in the dairy, and then the next month, as it will, give it back because the price has slipped and yet the cost of our inputs doesn't slow down. So the dairy is the iffy one.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on agriculture is brought to you by Dutch Meadows Garden Center, Pella Precast Products, Lighten Processed Meats, Sunny Slope Greenhouse, De Blumenhof, Kooning Plumbing and Heating, and Digital Galleria Designs. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you miss In-Depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety in the radio audio media player on KNIA KRL. Just visit KNIAKRLS.com and catch up on the in-depth programs that you may have missed. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, McGriff's Spray Foam, ENT Clinic of Iowa, Stan and Pat with Stan Drywall and Pella, Pella Feed Service, Scurring and Utermarkt, Central Cellular, and Braffhart's BP.
I continued my conversation about farming with Leslie Miller and John Jensen with the Iowa State Savings Bank. Now, I look at corn and bean prices every day, and I like it when they're high, but it's just a general feeling I have knowing that the farmers are doing well if those prices are high. What kind of numbers do we really need, however, for farmers to be making money? When I start hearing certain low values, should I start to be concerned for our farmers? What's our sort of break-even point, the number that we don't want those corn and bean values to go below?
Wow, that will be different for every farmer that's out there. You know, part of it depends on how much they have paid for their land, how much they've paid for cash rent. You know, anhydrous prices were higher at one point in the fall, and they've kind of backed off a little bit. So there's just a lot of variables out there. Generally, that $4.85 to $5 range will give a farmer enough money to not only pay for his inputs, but pay for machinery payments and living costs and land and everything. So that price for this fall should make most of us feel like, okay, that $4.85 range, most of the farmers will do okay with that.
On corn.
Yeah. At $4.25, we might kind of grit our teeth a little bit because that's going to be below a lot of break-even points. So that's, yeah, I don't know if that gives you the information you
sure.
need, but that's kind of where if your listeners heard that farmers were delivering a lot of corn at 4.25 a bushel this fall, then they might be concerned, unless for some reason we have a lot of bushels, you know, like we have way above average yields. And then you can take a lower price.
And how about for beans? Is there a magic number on beans?
Oh, probably the $9 range. As long as it stays above $9, they will make something on them. We're looking at expected prices this fall from $10.50 on up. So we look at some profit in the soybeans. But bear in mind, we're not talking as big a yield on soybeans as we are corn. So when you put it on a per acre basis, it's not as many dollars. But right now it appears that the market will protect our costs and allow us to, the farmer to make some money on them.
And really the local merchant, or the local grain buyers, you know, the co-ops and elevators and Cargill, you know, you just look at some of those bids that they have out there for fall right now. They are at a level that farmers could lock in some prices and make some money. So if they haven't done any forward contracting right now, they probably should do a little bit at least. And crop insurance has got some prices that are set in place for a floor for the crop that, that will help farmers as well. Again, that's this year. We just don't know what's going to happen in future years.
Okay, so other than that, what other advice are you giving to the farmers?
Always had this one lender that I enjoyed working with in past years. Used to always talk about farmers should keep their powder dry. And the thought behind that was, you know, farm efficiently, don't stretch your dollars so that you have the latest and greatest or the most expensive land. Always have a little bit of a cushion there just in case you need it in the future. And so I think that's important. Certainly farmers need to upgrade to where they have better technology with their planters. They should be thinking of those things. But if they've got good technology with their equipment right now, maybe just kind of see what happens this year instead of stretching yourself too far. Same thing with land. There's been a lot of land sales, and I think if people sit back and look, they'll realize that several of those sales have been to people with large tracts of land, that they're maybe buying a small tract of land. Because let's face it, I don't care how many lenders you interview. There's been a lot of lenders interviewed in the last year where the first question is, how do people make $12,000 an acre land or $15,000 an acre land work? And that lender might say, well, somehow they do, and that's wrong. The lender's just giving out false information. Land that's that expensive does not work. What the lender should be telling you, and what I'm telling the people that are listening, so when people pay that much for land, they are subsidizing that purchase with the other acres of land that they own. Just like if you were going out to buy a car, you know, you help buy that car with your salary or with excess dollars that you have from your salary that you're not using for family living. Same thing with the farmers buying that land. They are buying that land thinking that at some point in time, land might be even more expensive than what it is. And so they're hoping that they're buying at a time where they'll see land prices increase. They're buying it to control acres. They're thinking that, again, with the China situation, we may experience higher grain prices on down the road as opposed to lower. You know, it's a speculative purchase. And if you have enough base acres to put with it, that speculation wouldn't hurt you like it might a smaller person trying to buy those acres. So that's, you know, that's the dynamics that we're in right now. But, you know, the land prices that we have and that we've seen, people can't cash flow those prices that they're paying on land right now. They have to subsidize that purchase with their existing operation. So that uses a little bit of that cushion that we were talking about. And some farmers may decide that they want to use that cushion for that, and others may say, no, I want to save it for something else. And again, that's an individual farm decision. Each farmer has to decide that for himself.
One of the things that I think a lot of farmers have stressed over, well, I know they stress over, is paying too much income tax. But realistically, the last year or two has offered us a great opportunity basically both to pay income tax, if you will, and reduce some debt. And the reason I said it that way, Bob, is debt is reduced with after-tax dollars. And probably people have made very good money out here in that. Probably should be cleaning up the debt side of their balance sheet a little bit. Hopefully they have. That way, two things happens. One, if the economy does sour, they don't have the debt pressures. But two, if the economy doesn't sour, and none of us can see the future, they've probably got increased borrowing room and ability to go ahead and do something else as it keeps moving forward. So debt reduction has to be a part of this equation, and part of what we need to talk about is don't always be afraid of a little bit of income tax, but reduce some debt. Maybe get some machinery debt out of the way, some things like this, so that the financial statement has breathing room.
Thanks to Leslie Miller and John Jensen for contributing to the program. For KNIA, KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.